Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Someone was asking about the doc. Mind if I take my jacket off? I'm sweating here. Excuse me. Someone was asking about the doxology and why we sing the doxology and what's the doxology all about anyway. Well, it comes from the Greek dox, which means teaching or belief. And churches decided to sing this or say this or pray this because it expresses our belief in the Trinity. That when we pray to God, we're praying to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. That's at the core of our Christian belief. So it's a creedal statement, if you will. It's a creedal statement. Creed, a belief statement. All right, so I hope your Bibles aren't too far from you. So let's take a look at John chapter 11. We've been going through the Gospel of John, and we're up to chapter 11. Now, last week, anybody remember? Oh, I might just do this. Why not? Who were the two characters in the sermon last week? Martha and Mary. That's right. Last week we met Martha and Mary, and here in today's reading of John, we find Martha and Mary again. I guess it's by coincidence, and but this is the first time that they appear in the Gospel of John. So I'm going to start by reading verses 1 through 6 together. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Wow. And we'll go back to Scripture again. I just want to take that piece because this is just too long a section to read off all at one chunk. One of the things that strikes me as a surprise in today's miracle, and we've seen other miracles in John, one of the things that's different is that the miracle begins with waiting. He says, "Let's hang around for another couple days." You know, Jesus is incredible. He's always doing some kind of work which is outside of the box. He responds in ways that are amazing and are unexpected. Here, Jesus waited. Look at the verses. Lazarus is obviously sick. Then John tells us who Lazarus is, and he's from where? Where's Lazarus from again? He's from Bethany, sure, a town near Jerusalem. Bethany's a town near Jerusalem. Martha and Mary's village. And all three, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, were good friends of Jesus. These are three good friends, and it even says he loves him. Jesus loves him. They were near Jerusalem, so apparently when Jesus was visiting Jerusalem on one of his number of trips there, he stayed at their home. You have a home of a friend or family member that you stay at and visit occasionally. You can spend a couple days there. It's a kind of a nice retreat. And they become Jesus' close friends, this Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And the Bible is very clear who this Mary is. She's not Mary, Jesus' mother. She's not Mary Magdalene. There's a lot of Marys in the Bible. This is Mary who poured perfume on Jesus' feet and dried his feet with her hair. Friends of Jesus. He ministered to them, and they ministered to him, right? Now this time there is a deep problem. Lazarus, their brother, is very ill. And Jesus hears about it, and what is his first reaction? His first reaction, he says, I know what God is doing. That's crucial. I know what God is doing. Jesus, he knew the future and God's ways in ways that you and I can't know the future. And we can't always understand God's ways. He sees the ways of God's working, that God is working towards. He is working towards, it says, Jesus' glory. So Lazarus is sick, but it's going to end in glorifying the Lord. And a little angle here. Please remember, Jesus often referred to God's glory in connection with his cross. It's an important connection to make. His glory is the cross, followed by the resurrection. So when we hear about Jesus being glorified, we're hearing directly about his going to the cross, because this is where he's going to lay down his life, where we find salvation, where we find forgiveness for sin, followed by the resurrection. He could never have been raised from the dead if he hadn't gone from the cross. This is all part of his glory. And people will see a healing, a demonstration, but they will be led to something deeper than the healing of Lazarus, which will take place. Jesus' appointment with the cross is coming up soon in the gospel. Now, what about this waiting? Have you ever heard that God always answers prayers? God always answers prayers. And the way we usually respond that God always answers prayers, sometimes his answer is, no. People don't think that's an answer. But it is, you know. When I tell my kids no, or used to when they were little, that was the answer. No. They didn't believe me, but the answer was no. Sometimes the answer is yes, absolutely. And sometimes the answer is wait. That's right. Or not yet. All right. Here, the answer to the situation is wait. Jesus is working on God's timetable, not on ours. Two kinds of timetables. There are two words for time in the New Testament, in the Greek. One is chronos, and we have the word chronology, right? It's our earthly time. It's what I got on this band here, okay? It's the time. It's how old you are. It's when you're going to go to this event. It's what month it is, what date it is, when the Terminex guy is coming, okay? All of those different things. Chronos. But there's another kind of time in the Bible, in the Greek, and it's called kairos. Kairos is God's timing. It's when God breaks into the situation with his power and his strength. It's when God is busy doing something. It's God's timing for something. He doesn't follow an earthly schedule. And sometimes we rebel at God's timing. It doesn't seem right. But God has a timing. What do we do when the answer is wait? It's not God's timing yet. One, looking at the scripture today, pray for God's glory. God's glory even in the waiting. Can you think of that? Instead of going right for God, I want you to fix this, I want you to do that, I want you to
come over here and do this and that. Start with a prayer, God, in this circumstance, may you be glorified. May you receive the glory. May your power come through in whatever way it's going to happen. Your glory come through here, even in the waiting time. And number two, trust his timing. These two things go directly against my grain. Number one, I don't start with, God, I want your glory to be manifest here. I start with, God, give me this. Yeah? This is something different. It goes directly against my grain to say, I got to wait. It's just not the way I'm built as a human being. I have a feeling you're not either. Trust in his timing. That's hard. We want what we want when. How did you know that? We want it now. Absolutely. Trust in his timing. Now, let's read verses 7 through 16. And that would be pretty much it for the day. Then, after he said this to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. And are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day will not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Valiant Thomas. Not a good idea, Jesus, going to Judea. That's where they wanted to stone you. Now remember, if you missed chapter 10 sermon, the thing that was going on was Jesus said in chapter 10, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Now, we may miss the meaning of that. But the Jews did not miss the meaning of that. If you were to look at verse 33, it says, we're going to stone you for blasphemy. Words against God. A mere man claiming to be God. See, they knew what he was saying. They knew he was saying, I and the Father are one. You have seen me, have seen the Father. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about God, not just some great man. This is the Son of God. Fullness of God in him. Remember the doxology? And they tried to seize him, but he escapes back in chapter 10 because it is not his time yet. All of these words here are about timing and God's timing and what's going on in Jesus' life and God's timing in his life and our life. But ever notice that sometimes the words of the Bible seem a bit obscure? You read something like that. What on earth? Does that ever happen to any of you? Sure. I mean, what on earth is he talking about in verse 9 when he says, Put on your glasses, Mike. In verse 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world." What's that? He's talking about timing. That period of time when there are 12 hours of daylight and only 12 hours of daylight, or whatever number of hours of daylight there are at that particular time of year. If you're on the equator, it's always exactly the same. In other words, there's enough time to do God's will in life, but only enough time. God is very economical with time. Jesus knew there was a timing as he headed towards glorification on the cross. And so he says, it's time to go now. But he's talking about staying in God's will, is what he's talking about. He's saying the greatest danger in life is not walking into a situation that may seem threatening. The greatest danger in life is not walking in God's light. Now, I know people, and you know people, who are not walking in God's light. They haven't got a clue which way they're going. They haven't got a clue of what God has in mind for them or what salvation is about. They're not walking in God's light. I don't know who they are. They know who they are. God knows who they are. And there are those people who are seeking the light. I assume that we're all here today because we're seeking the light. We are seeking the words of the Lord through the Bible. This Bible's about you. It's about me. Martha and Mary face a crisis. Lazarus is dying. Now, when a person like you, when a family like yours, when a church like ours, nation like ours, when we are faced with a seeming crisis, we might have a couple of different reactions. One reaction is denial. We pull the cover over our heads. You ever do that? We pretend the situation will kind of just go away and disappear. I guess that comes from fear. Maybe if I just close my eyes, it will all go away. Denial, as some friends of mine like to say, denial is not only a river in Egypt, but that's something else. Another is to start moving and doing and changing all kinds of things and moving in all different kinds of directions without direction, without purpose. That's stumbling. Get frantic. Another way is to say, "Lord, we have a situation, God. First of all, I want to put this in your hands. I want to pray, Lord, let your glory shine through the process that we now have to enter." No quick fixes. What is it? Is it finances? Is it illness? Is it relationship? A job? I think a lot of us know that the Chinese symbol for crisis, two symbols put together. One is the symbol of danger. A crisis confronts us with a definite danger. It's a threat to us. The other symbol that they put together is the symbol for opportunity. That every danger confronts us with an opportunity. I would put it in Christian terms.
God works all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It's going to work out. When we put things in God's hands, when we walk in His light and we say, I'm going to do it Your way, Lord. Thomas said to Him, okay, let's go with You, Jesus, to Judea where they're going to stone You and they're going to stone us too. Let's all die together. That was Thomas. His apostles are forever missing the point. His faith was courageous, but it was not triumphant. Jesus always wants us, because He wasn't going to get stoned, it wasn't God's timing. Jesus always wants us to move ahead with hope and confidence that comes from trusting Him. And so as we face a crisis in life, and Jesus faced a crisis, the death of Lazarus, a loved friend, let's learn today from Jesus. He was looking for God to be glorified. He was walking in the light of God's will and not making snap decisions. Very important. Don't push the panic button. And he was trusting God. Now there's more to this chapter. There's a lot more. Lazarus is dead. What's going to happen? Well, you're going to have to wait till next week for part two. God bless you.
Please be seated. First Sunday of the month, as you know, we do a offertory that is for the diaconate, communion offering, for the needs of people who come to us in the community and they're in a jam. And they call the church and they say, we need some help. And we're able to help them through these funds. So they'll now wait on you. The diaconate will now wait on you.
This day I would like to invite all of you to partake in this, the table of the Lord. All of you who are righteous. Oh, that's an intimidating word. All of you who are righteous. But remember what we said at the beginning of worship. Righteousness comes through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and through the sacrifice of Him on the cross. We accept His grace. We accept His unconditional love. A love that's bigger than yours or mine. His love for you and for me. And we remember the night of His betrayal, He had a Passover meal, and part of that Passover meal is a washing of the hands, and so we're remembering the cleansing that we need in our souls. Wash us clean, Lord. And we're reminded of the water of baptism, which we experienced. By the way, we're going to have baptisms next Sunday, and people coming into membership in the church, so please be sure you come next Sunday and invite a friend. But that's part of what this is reminding us of, baptisms. But we remember the Lord's night, and we just come to Him now in a word of prayer. Almighty God, we come to You not because we are worthy, but You're worthy. And we come to You as confessing our faults, admitting our sins, our failings, our stumblings, our lack of faith, our rebellion, whatever. We're human and we do these things. And yet, God, You loved us. The Scripture said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We don't have to do anything to deserve the love of Jesus. He loves us because He made us and we're His. And He wants us to belong to Him, be part of His flock. And so we receive the forgiveness of God through Jesus. Take that forgiveness into your heart. Begin a new beginning. Receive a cleansing from the Lord. Receive a strength that the Holy Spirit gives you now. He loves you. And nothing can take that away. Amen. We remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ on the night when He was betrayed after supper, taking bread. He gave thanks and He broke it and He said, take ye all eat of this, for this is My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you eat it. As we eat this bread together, remember, Jesus is the bread of life. In like manner also, after supper, taking the cup, our Lord said, "This cup is the new and everlasting covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Savor this bread and this cup and remember Jesus and know he's with us. As often as we eat the bread, we drink this cup, We proclaim the Lord's death as the church, and we'll do so until the day that he comes again. Amen. I think we have just enough people to make a circle. So spread out, move around, and make a circle. Do you think we can make a real circle this time? Let's make a real circle. We're going to make a real circle. Oh, this is going to go into Guinness. We did it. We're almost there. We're there. Praise the Lord. They're holding Eleanor's hand behind the curtain. God bless you. Join together in the prayer which Jesus taught, and we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, bless us with your Holy Spirit, fill us with your power, and root us in your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen. Amen. God bless you.